So our reading this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, through to the end of chapter 11. And that can be found on page 175 of the Church Bibles. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations, as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourselves were aliens in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. He is your praise, he is your God, who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Your forefathers who went down into Egypt were 70 in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed, and the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country, what he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. It was not your children who saw what he did for you in the desert, until you arrived at this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abram, sons of Eliab the Reubenite, when the earth opened its mouth, right in the middle of all Israel, and swallowed them up with their households, their tents and every living thing that belonged to them. But it was your own eyes that saw all these things the Lord has done. Observe, therefore, all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers to give to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey, the land you are entering from which you have come, the land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot, as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heavens. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine and oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. If you carefully observe all these commands I am giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. Every place where you set your foot will be yours, from the desert to Lebanon, and from the Euphrates River to the Western Sea. No man will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God, as he promised you, will put the terror and fear of you on the whole land, wherever you go. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I command you today by following other gods which you have not known. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land you are entering to possess, you are to proclaim on Mount Gerizim the blessings and on Mount Ebal the curses. As you know, these mountains are across the Jordan, west of the road, towards the setting sun, near the great trees of Moreh, in the territory the Canaanites living in the Araham and in the vicinity of Gilgal. You are about to cross the Jordan to enter and take possession of the land the Lord your God has given you. When you have taken it over and are lying there, be sure that you obey all the decrees and laws I am setting before you today.
Thanks, Treasurer. Trevor. Let's pray. Dear God, as we close this short series in Deuteronomy, Lord, would you remind us again of the essential truths and the applications that we can take away from it, Lord. Remind us again of what we are to take from this. And Lord, would you bury those truths deep in us so that we are motivated to live and serve and obey you. Amen. So this is not quite a final rallying call before they go into the desert. Moses is going to do a few more, but this is ends this section that we've come up to, the end of chapter 11. And just a quick recap, remember the first four chapters was Moses painting the historical picture. What are we doing here? How on earth did we get to this point? What happened? And then chapters 5 to 11 is reminding the Israelites, the people, of their obligations to God based on what he's done for them in chapters 1 to 4. Just a reaffirmation of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And then the rest of the book, Moses will go through the finer details of that, lay out these blessings and curses, and then at the end of the book, there's almost this ceremonial reaffirmation of the people to that covenant. That's basically how Deuteronomy works. It's much like it's just like a laying out of that whole agreement process with God and the people again. And as we've seen throughout Deuteronomy, what we've seen, the key thing in all of this is fear of the Lord. Just look again at verse 12, chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God? To fear the Lord your God. This is the heart of everything. Everything starts here. Two great psalms to present that are Psalms 111, 112. 111 is all about God, okay? And we see that end of Psalm 111, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belong eternal praise. Psalm 111 is all about God and to fear God. And Psalm 112 is what it would look like to fear God. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delights in his commands. So the outworking of fearing the Lord is to love him, to obey him, and to serve him. To love him, to obey him, and to serve him. And look how this is repeated throughout our passage that we're looking at. Chapter 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 20, chapter 10. Fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. Verse 1, chapter 11. Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. Chapter 11, verse 13. So if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And then finally, verse 22, chapter 11. If you carefully observe all these commands I'm giving you to follow, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him and to hold fast to him. Look at this repetition. Love God first. To fear God is to love him, to serve him, to obey him. That's what we looked at in our confession. That's why Jesus outlines the fact that to walk with him is to love him first and then love your neighbour. We have to love God before we can even begin to obey him or to walk with him. Everything is dependent on getting that right first. And the Christian faith is that simple. It really is. If we don't love God, then we have no walk with him at all. In many ways, it would be like denying the reality of gravity. You can say, well, I don't believe in gravity, or I don't want to obey the laws of gravity. And your life will really not go well if that's the case. You might think, well, you know, I fancy a day trip to France. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to drive straight off the cliffs Because gravity doesn't affect me, and my car will somehow hover its way across the channel. Or you can think, well, the traffic's bad in town. You know what? I'm going to jump out my car and just fly through the streets like Superman, because I'm above gravity. It doesn't affect me. I don't believe in it anyway. This is the life without fear of God, which is the love of God. If we don't love God, nothing else will work. And throughout the Bible, fearing God means to love him, and the outworking of that love for God is obedience to him. John 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, what's the proof of your love for me? By keeping my commandments. 1 John 5, the Apostle John writes, verse 3, in fact, this is love for God. What is love for God? Oh, for giving loads of money to charity. No. For being nice, just generally nice. No. This is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. To love God is to walk with him in obedience. That is the outworking. And what Moses is doing here, he's just repeated this over and again to the people. But he's given them all the motivation they need. What's our motivation then to love, obey and serve God? What is it? What's the people's motivation here? Other than simply being commanded to do it, why would we want to do it? We're at chapter 10, verse 13. Chapter 10, verse 13. So, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today. Why? For your own good. For your own good. Again, it's that simple. To love God is to obey him. That is the best thing for us. To disobey God will not go well for anyone. It's for our own good, and it's in who God is. Psalm 34, verses 8 and 9. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. Moses is saying it is in your interest to do this. Life will go well for you. If you don't, life will not go well for you because of who God is. And what Moses lays out, he says, let me just give you some evidence. There's some evidence from the past, there's some evidence now, and there's a future motivation to love, serve, and obey the Lord your God. Let's have a look at the past. What's their motivation for the past? Verse 15. Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations, as it is today. Number one, what's your motivation? Well, he set his love on you. And we know from Romans chapter 8, end of Romans chapter 8, when God set his love on you was before he'd even made anything, before he'd even made you. He decided to set his love on you. And that's a big deal. If we want one person's affection in the whole world, and isn't that one of the problems of the human life, is that we just want affection from everyone. We want affirmation from everyone. We're so worried about what people think. If we truly understand that the only one who has unconditionally set his affection on us is God, then we would really be truly satisfied. And why is it so important for God's affection? Verse 17, chapter 10. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. The Lord of lords has set his affection on you. That's all you need. And he's a God who fulfills his promises. Verse 22, chapter 10. Your ancestors who went down into Egypt were 70 in all. So that's when Joseph went there first, and then his brothers and his dad and their wives joined them. Your ancestors were 70 in all. And now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. This is a God who set his love on you, who's Lord of all lords, who keeps his word. And all these people would have known the promise that Moses is talking about here, the promise to Abraham. Abraham, I'm going to take you out of your comfort. You're just one man, one wife. You're nothing. Genesis chapter 22, 17, 18. Takes Abraham out and promises, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gates of his enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Moses is saying, look, you're as numerous as the stars now. The promise to Abraham is being fulfilled right now in front of your very eyes. That's the past. And the present is within this. You've seen his power. So the past is his love on you, the God of gods and his promises. The present is what you've seen with your own eyes. Chapter 11, verse 2. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed and the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country. What he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. Verse 7. It wasn't your children, but it was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done. Motivation from the past and motivation now. Your eyes have seen what God's done. Don't forget that. Not to mention, as Moses has already talked about, the fact that your feet didn't swell, your clothes didn't run out, and he fed you from heaven. Your eyes saw that. And now, he's fed you then, he's feeding you now. Verse 12. It is a land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. He's providing for you now. He's declaring that now. Your dependence on him in the past will remain now. You're dependent on him now. But he is a God who is true to his word. Love God and obey him and serve him. And what Moses says is one of the ways to express that and to experience that is ensuring that future generations, subsequent generations, understand that. And this is this fascinating section here, which is totally lost on today. But for them to continue receiving God's blessings now, it was vital that the subsequent generations understood that. And the ones after them, and the ones after them. Look at verse 19. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. It's in your interest now to teach the future generations to love God, to serve him, to obey him all the time. Every mealtime, when you play, when you're working, when you get up, when you go down, drill it into them. Because you will benefit now with that. If we're going to point to one of the biggest changes that we've seen in society today, and there are many, this will be a big one. fear of God is utterly gone with the younger generations. The younger generations fear fashion trends more than they fear God. The younger generations fear public opinion more than they fear God. They're not interested. They think it's irrelevant. Society today is evidence of God's word here. Moses is telling them it's in your interest now to teach people, the subsequent generations, about God. It's in your interest now. It will go well for you now. And today we see the complete opposite. We see the utter breakdown of society, of communities, of families, because it's within that family structure that society breaks down. That's the motivation for the past, the present. And then the big one, Moses gets on to the future. What's your motivation in the future to love, obey, and serve God? Well, there's blessings and curses. Verse 26, chapter 11, verse 26. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. The curse, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I commanded you today by following other gods which you have not known. Blessings and curses. The fulfillment of, or really the ultimate of what Moses is talking about here, is the difference between death and life. And this is where Moses goes into greater detail towards the end of Deuteronomy. Just jump to chapter 30, because it's important that we see what exactly these blessings and curses play out in. Chapter 30, from verse 11. So Moses is reiterating what he's been talking about. Chapter 30, verse 11. Now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in the heavens so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him and to keep his commands, his decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is the blessings and curses. That is the ultimate consequence of obedience and disobedience. It is life and death. This is what Moses is talking about. And within this, for the people, initially, there is material blessings. But the ultimate and the greater fulfillment of these blessings or curses is what happens in the far distant future. And we get so obsessed with the material, particularly in our world today, is that we ignore the future consequences. This is more than just having plenty of food on your table or little. or plenty of children and none, or simply good crops and bad crops. That does play into their land. Here, this is what Moses is partly talking about. And the problem is, as I said, we get obsessed in thinking that blessings from God means having all sorts of nice things. And we become short-sighted. And we lose track of what real blessings and real curses look like. Moses is talking about eternal life and eternal blessing. Or eternal misery and eternal wrath of God. And there's no in-between. This is the point Moses is making. There's no middle road. There's no middle road. But that is what the world fools itself into thinking. The world thinks, well, the consequences are just too great. I'm not going to take either one of these in case I fail. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take the middle road. If I take the middle road, then the curses can't apply to me. And I'm happy to live without the blessings. I can sort myself out. That's what the world thinks. But there is no middle road. We either love God and we obey him and we serve him, or we don't. We either love God or we love sin. There is no middle road. And on the face of this, yes, the natural inclination is to want to not deal with it. Our natural inclination is to think, well, I'll just bury my head in the sand. We're no different. People are no different. And this is what the world is doing today. It thinks, I don't want to confront the reality of my eternal destiny. And the easiest way of doing that is that I'll just bury my head in the sand. I'll take the middle road. The middle road doesn't exist. We're either for God or we're against him. We're either heading for eternal blessing or eternal curse. The stakes are high and it's hard. And our natural inclination is to not want to deal with it. But this is where the good news comes in. This is why the Christian faith is so important. What we're seeing, what we know today is that we can deal with it today. We can confront it today. Because if we're trusting in Jesus, then we know that he's dealt with the consequences. That the blessings for the people here were dependent on their obedience. And their motivation was, what can they get out of it, depending on how they related to God? And of course, we know the reality is, well, no one can live like that. No one can love, obey, and serve God fully. The curse is due to everyone. But this is where Jesus comes in, because Jesus deals with the consequences. Jesus secured the blessing so that we don't need to fear the curse. And this is what Paul is talking about in his letter to the Galatians. This is what he wants us to understand. Galatians 3, chapter 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone who is hung on the pole. That's from Deuteronomy itself. That's what he's quoting from. Verse 14. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles. So those who were ethnically from Abraham's family. Through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. The curse for our failure fell on Jesus. He took that. And by faith and repentance we receive the Spirit. Why is the Spirit important? Because if we have confessed our sins and trusted in Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. And if we are led by the Spirit, Galatians 5, verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
We're not judged by the law, we're judged by Jesus and what he's done. There is no curse for those who are in Christ. And keeping within this theme of past, present and future, the benefits for us are past, present and future again. The benefits for us, trusting Jesus, that we know that our sins are forgiven. When he went on the cross and he took that curse for our sins. Our sins have been forgiven. They cannot be charged to us anymore. And right now, in the present, we receive the Holy Spirit. We're regenerated. Our hearts are now inclined to God. We now have a will of want to obey him as opposed to our old will to disobey him. He's guiding us, leading us day by day. And then in the future, glory awaits. The ultimate blessing awaits. Simply by trusting in Jesus. If we trust in Jesus, we love, obey and serve God through him, through his obedience. And our motivation now is not, what can we get out of it? What do we need to do to get out of it? Our motivation switches over to just purely trusting in Jesus. Not in fear, but in joy. And when we truly understand that, when we truly understand that there is no consequence for our failure if we're trusting in Jesus, then we are truly free to serve him. This is the difference. This is what makes Christianity unique. We don't need to wake up every day worrying about, am I going to do enough today to please God? We wake up every day and we say, thank you, God, for Jesus. And already we're pleasing God because we're trusting in Jesus. Being free to serve him is such a relief. And if we're free to serve him, it means we're free to give more of ourselves to him. We can gladly serve him in everything we do, knowing that eternal blessings are guaranteed because Jesus took the curse for our failure. Let's pray. Lord God, we do indeed thank you that we are free to serve you. And we walk in obedience and we love you solely on the works of Jesus Christ. And Lord, if we're trusting in him and we've given our life to him in faith and repentance, we don't need to fear failing again. And we will fail again. But we know in Jesus, Lord, that only blessing awaits. He's taken the curse for us. And we are utterly free to serve you. So, Lord, I pray that you would equip us each day more and more to wake up every day thinking, how can I serve your purposes? How can I put what I desire to one side and to walk in obedience to you, not in my strength, not in my obedience, not in my works, but because of Jesus. Lord, would you fill us with a new sense of joy, of reminding ourselves of our newfound freedom in Jesus. And Lord, would that come across to our friends, our neighbours, our colleagues, family members? Would they see something about us which shows that we don't fear what the future holds because we're utterly safe with you? Amen.